And this morning, we do, you know, it's one of those mornings when you're the elder in the rotation. It's nice to be here on a day like this because proud to announce to you our new pastor. Pastor Keith, would you come on? He will be here this morning and this evening at the picnic. One more week away, and then he'll be back for good. I'm going to hold you to that, okay?
So thank you, Joe.
Pastor. Take care.
Now, before we started, you noticed there was a clock up here that said the service starts in. I'm almost sure that a little bit later that one's going to say the service ends in. Well, it is good to be with you. And just curious, how many of you were not here when I spoke the one and only time that I was here? How many of you were not here? Okay. Keep your hands up for a moment. Now, you look around at all the hands that are down. Those are the folks to blame. Okay. Now you know who it is that you need to talk to. But do pray for us. Your bulletin is not exactly correct. I was able to work it out to where we were able to leave our conference. We were at a conference Thursday, Friday, and it went through Saturday. Our president, Vernon Tannehill from Sedine, many of you will probably know that name. He is the president of the regional ANAM conference, regional. He was not able to be there, and I'm the vice president, so I had to be there. But I worked it out with the committee where they would allow me to leave Friday evening and then drive home. We arrived home yesterday morning at 12:30 and then got on the road at 6:30 yesterday morning to travel up here. So I was able to get a little rest last night. So if I still look tired, well, that's just par for the course. But it is good to be with you and looking forward to the picnic. And I had heard rumor that there was going to be a dunk tank, but I understand that that did not work out. So we sang, Jehovah is my provider, my God shall supply all my needs. Then we sang, make me a blessing. And then the quartet just reminded us that our purpose is to have a heart that the most important thing about us is to serve Him, to love Him, and to glorify Him. And you realize that if that is truly our heart, that's our passion, that's our goal, and we recognize that He is Jehovah, He is our provider, then we probably don't have to pray, make me a blessing. We should probably just be a blessing. If He truly is the one that our heart is shooting for. Okay, she's working. Good deal. We didn't test it beforehand, so I thought I would just do that. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and just ask Him to work in our lives and to minister to us. And we'll give Him the praise and the glory. Father, thank You for this morning, for this time together. Thank You for this union that You have put together. This body of believers to be a part of our life, my family's life, and then our life to be a part of this body's life. And I pray that as time moves forward, that You will create a bond here, that each of us will feel very much a part of this body. We will feel very much a part of each other, that we will be a body that weeps with those that weep, rejoices with those that rejoice, that we will understand that a body has many parts, and that each of us will find our role and use it for Your honor and for Your glory. Pray for those who have been mentioned this morning with health issues. We pray You'd put Your hand upon them, and for Faye and Janet, as they may be coming home from the hospital today, that You would give them grace. Thank You for Your protection upon them. Minister to us, and we'll thank You for what You accomplished, for we pray in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to talk about being a friend of God. Where did that go, that first one? There we go. Becoming a friend of God. How many of you would like to be a friend of God? How many of you would like God to say, "He is my friend. She is my friend"? I think all of us would like to do that or have that said about us. And the good news is that becoming a friend of God is not something that's very difficult, because He desires to be your friend. He desires to be my friend. And so we don't need to fear rejection, but there's some things that I want us to talk about before we get into all of this, because I believe that becoming a friend of God is a process. Now think about that for a moment. There's a song real popular, "I Am a Friend of God, I Am a Friend of God." And the question can be asked, yes, I can sing that song and I can state that phrase, but is it true that I'm a friend of God? Well, to kind of set the stage for where I'm going, I want you to think about this word for a moment: security. Now, does any of this look familiar? Securities, home securities, surveillance cameras, gun safes. Anybody got one? Social Security isn't too secure. But we know about these things, and we want security, and we have these things. But I have to ask the question, when we understand the real definition of security, it's freedom from risk or danger, it's safety. And so with that definition and our desire to have securities, I ask the question, how much faith is needed when everything I have is secure? How much faith is needed when everything I have, everything I do, everything I desire to have security? As I read about the heroes in the Bible and look at these great lives of men and women who gave their lives to serve God and to glorify Him, I'm amazed at the amount of risks they took. In fact, there's a whole chapter in the book of Hebrews that reminds us of the risk that these men and women took in order to serve God. And not only am I surprised at the risks that they took, but when I read of one of the eulogies that God gives to His saints, it causes me to pause for a moment and ask some questions. You see, God has given eulogies before. And we understand a eulogy is when someone has died and then someone stands up and tells a little bit about the person. There was a guy by the name of Enoch, and God gave the eulogy and said, "Enoch was a man that walked with me." Enoch was a man that walked with God. And as you go back and look at Enoch, you recognize and to realize that his life on this earth was only about a third as long as the average. In our lifespan, we might say he was 25 years old. And God took him. And it wasn't a discipline. It was a privilege. He walked with God, and he was not, and God took him into his presence. And so that was a eulogy. David was a man after a eulogy. God evaluates David and his life, and God says, "David was a man after my own heart." John the disciple is described as the disciple whom Jesus, what eulogies. We're going to look at another one this morning. His name is Abraham. And Abraham was called the friend of God. So that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Where'd that one go? The scriptures remind us in 2 Chronicles, it says, "Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave to the descendant of Abraham your friend forever?" Now in the New Testament, James tells us, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." I'd like to suggest to you that Abraham became a friend of God through his faith. And by his faith, he was willing to leave securities. He was willing to leave securities. So, take your Bibles, go with me to the book of Genesis. Chapter 12 is where we're going to start. Put a finger there. Genesis chapter 12. And when you find Genesis chapter 12 and you put your finger there, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 11, and then we're going to go back into Genesis, and we're going to walk through the life of Abraham. So Genesis 12, you got your finger there. Hebrews 11. And in verse 1 of chapter 11 of Hebrews, we're told that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And verse 6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And then in verse 8, it says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise as a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and to him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as innumerable grains of sand, the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. And having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles in the earth, for the people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland, and if they have been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." So Hebrews just kind of summarizes the life of Abraham and Sarah. But I want us to go back and to walk through with them through their lives. And the first thing that I note about Abraham was he was one who was willing to give up the security of friends. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "And the Lord said to Abram, Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." God comes to Abram, who is Abraham, and in a sense says to him, "Abraham, I want you to pack your bags, get up, and leave from all these your friends." "Where am I going, God?" "Don't worry about that, Abraham." "What do you mean, don't worry about it? I got to get a U-Haul truck." "I want you to get up and leave all of this, the security that you find here. Leave your friends and follow me." "They're going to think I'm idiots, God. They're not going to understand. How do I explain this to people? I mean, they're going to be asking me, Abraham, where are you going? And I'm going to say, I don't know. And Abraham was willing to leave the security of friends, to follow God to a place that he would later find out. In fact, Hebrews says that he lived his life not receiving all the promises, but believed that God was able. So I would ask each of us, if we were to desire to be a friend of God, because Abraham was a friend of God, and one of the things that he was willing to leave was the security of friends. If God was to ask you to get up and to go, leave the security of your friends, maybe he'll give you another one. Would we go? You see, I believe that sometimes one of the reasons why we are hesitant to be what God wants me to be, go where God wants me to go, do what God wants me to do, is because I like my security. And to step out of that security is going to require that I have faith. And through faith, we're willing to lay down the securities. And Abraham was a man who was willing to give up the security of friends. But not only the security of friends, but you jump over to chapter 13, he was willing to give up the security of finances. In chapter 13, it says, so Abram went up from Egypt, and he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him. Verse 2. Now Abram was rich in livestock, silver, and gold. As he journeyed on from the Negev, as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, before Bethel and Ai, the place where he had made an altar, the first, and there Abram called upon the name of the Lord, and Lot went with him. Also, Lot also had those flocks and those herds and tents. And then something happens. As you read, verse 6, so that the land could not support both of them, dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together, and there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. At that time, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, were dwelling in the land. And then Abraham comes on the scene. Now, you got the picture? Some of you are farmers. If you've got so many head of cattle and so many head of sheep and so many whatever, and you got all of this, you have to have pasture land. And in that day, herds equaled riches. The greater your herds, the greater your riches. And when the pasture land is not enough to go around, and you recognize that if something doesn't happen here, my herds will decrease, so will my assets decrease. Abraham, being the senior one here, comes to Lot, and he says to Lot, his nephew, Lot, this is not good. Your men are arguing with my men over all this pasture land. Tell you what we'll do. You know the story. Abraham says to Lot, you choose. I'll take what's left over. There's some risk involved in that. I mean, Lot being younger, less experienced, not understanding the greatness of the God that we serve, looks out and sees the green pastures of the valleys, and he says, I want that. What did he want? He wanted security. He wanted to know that there was going to be enough pasture to supply for the flocks, and then some. That his herds might increase, that his riches might increase. And Abraham was willing to leave the security of riches and take whatever was left, believing that God could take care of him. Abraham was a man who was willing to leave the security of friends. He was willing to leave the security of finances. He was also willing to leave up the security of what I call the familiar. Back up, if you will, in chapter 12, verse 8. Hebrews also mentioned it, but in 12 verse 8, it says this. From there, he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent. Chapter 13, verse 3.
And he journeyed on the Negev as far as Bethel, and a place where his tent had been. Verse 18. So Abram moved his tent. And you say, no, wait a second, preacher. That's the way they all lived back then. No, it's not. Did you know in 1922, these guys that like playing in sand, you see, some kids never grow up. And there are individuals that as adults just love playing in the sand, and they're called archaeologists. And in 1922, a systematic excavation of Ur was underway. And in that excavation, they found that the homes of the inhabitants of Abraham's day were generally two stories high, with a central court and surrounded rooms, a staircase in the corner leading to the upper story with rooms opening to the balcony of the court supported with big pillars. Can you imagine? That is maybe what Abraham was living in. And God said, leave this. Everything that's familiar. Leave your friends. Leave your finances. Leave the familiar. And he lived in tents. In fact, Abraham never owned a piece of property. I take that back. He bought a piece of property. You know why he bought the piece of property? To bury his wife. Abraham was willing to leave the securities of the familiar, and he lived in a tent. Last night in our devotions as a family, we read Hebrews 11 to prepare for this, and I had this great thought. I understand that Jill and David are going to sell their tent. I thought, why don't we buy that and we'll live in a tent? Abby says, no way. No way, Dad. So Abraham was a man who was willing to become a friend of God. He was willing to leave the securities of friends, to leave the securities of finances, to leave the security of the familiar, and also willing to leave the security of family. Chapter 22. In Genesis chapter 22, God comes to Abraham. Most of you are very familiar with this story. He said, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah to offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains in which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled a donkey, took the two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and they headed off. And you know the story. Abraham is traveling, and he got up early in the morning, so this wasn't something he thought about. God asked. He did. Forsake, he forsook. To give, he was willing to give. And so he takes Isaac, and they're following, they're traveling. Abraham sees this mountain. He says to his young men, you guys stay here, we're going to go on and worship. He takes Isaac, and Isaac questions him about the sacrifice, and he comforts his son. They go up there, he builds the altar, he binds his son, and he's willing to sacrifice family. And then God stops him. Abraham, here I am, Lord. Don't do this. You've passed the test. There's a ram, sacrifice him. And so Abraham sacrificed the ram. And then God is able to write a eulogy about Abraham. And he says, Abraham was my friend. Jesus said, you are my friend if. Just a two-letter word. Jesus said, "You are my friends if." If what? You know, it's like saying, "Abby, I'll buy you a car when you're 16. Her eyes get lit up. And then I say, "If," and her countenance goes down. "What, Dad? You have a 4.0 in everything." Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." We are to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. It should be our passion to serve him, to love him, to do whatever he would have me to do, to go wherever he would have me to go, to be whatever he would have to ask me to be. Even if it means forsaking the security of my friends, even if it means forsaking the security of finances, even if it means the security of sacrificing everything that's familiar to me, even if it means sacrificing the security of family. Whose friend will you choose to be? Whose friend will you choose to be? Now, I want you to understand something here. Becoming a friend of God does not mean you have faultless faith. See, I didn't touch on that part of Abraham. But there was twice in Abraham's life when his faith wasn't too strong. He had a beautiful wife, and he was running into a little difficulty in life, and he was trying to figure out how to make things work out. And so they would travel down to the big city where maybe there could be some help there. And each time he went, he said to his lovely wife, "Sarah, you are so beautiful. Most women your age are old, ugly hags." I don't think he said that. But he said, "You are so beautiful." That's what every husband should think. Amen, wives? He said, "Sarah, when we go there, would you just tell them I'm your brother, lest they kill me?" A lot of faith there, isn't there? And you remember when they were waiting for this promised son? And Sarah comes to Abraham and says, I think I got it figured out. God doesn't really want us to wait on him and believe that we will do it. Why don't you take my handmaid and lie with her, and we'll get a son that way?" And Abraham says, "Yeah, that sounds good." It wasn't God's plan. So what I'm trying to say to you is that becoming a friend of God doesn't require that you have faultless faith, because there's not one of us here that would qualify. But we must have growing faith. You see, some of us are very content sticking with salvation faith. Because we know that without faith, it's impossible to please God, and we know that salvation is by faith through grace. And we understand that the only way that one can be saved is to come to God, recognizing they are a sinner, they deserve his judgment, and that if they do not find forgiveness, they will spend eternity in hell. And so a sinner, broken because they're recognizing their need of a Savior, cry out to God, and they say, "God, I recognize I'm a sinner, I deserve your judgment, but I know that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, died in my place, paid my penalty, paid the price that I can be set free. I want Jesus to be my Savior." That's saving faith. That's all it takes to become a child of God. But that's not all it takes to become a friend of God. You see, that saving faith is to grow by taking those steps of following in obedience, believing that he is Jehovah. He is the great provider. He is the one that will care for me. He will take care of me. And through those steps where we are willing to take those steps of faith, leave those securities, we find out how great He really is. So you don't have to have faultless faith to be His friend, but you must have growing faith. So whose friend will you choose to be? Becoming a friend of God. The good news is God desires you to be His friend. And you will not find rejection. But you must take the step. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, I mentioned just a moment ago about salvation faith. You might be here this morning and visiting, and you don't have that. You have not found salvation yet. And what I said was true. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, eternity in a place called hell. But God's not willing that any should perish, and so He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, because He loved us. He loved you, and He gave His Son that if you would just cry out to Him and tell Him that you are a sinner in need of salvation and understand that Jesus is your only hope and place your faith in Him, then you become a child of God. And if there's anyone here this morning like that would like me to remember you in prayer, would you just raise your hand up and right back down that I might remember you in prayer? I'm going to assume then that all of you, most of you, are believers. And I would ask you the question, if you were to die today, could God greet you in heaven, arms wide open, and say, "My friend"? He's going to say, "My child." But could He say, "My friend"? Because I was more important to you than friends and finances and familiar things and family. You are my friend. Father, thank You for the example of those who have gone before us, those in the Scriptures who have become great heroes for us, examples, men and women to follow their footsteps. Abraham was a great example, a man of faith, a man who became Your friend forever. And I would pray that that desire would be within each of us to become so close, so intimate in our fellowship and relationship that we are not just Your son or Your daughter, we are Your friends, because it's our goal to do whatever it is that You ask of us. If there be anyone here that would need to talk further, Lord, I am willing and able to sit down with them and open up the Scriptures. I pray that You would remove any resistance that they might have to approach me or someone else in the church, that we might be able to speak to them through the Scriptures. And we'll praise You for what You accomplish and what You do. In Jesus' name, amen.